We do welcome you today on this Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday we celebrate the risen Lord, but especially on this Sunday. We're glad you're here. As Dane alluded to earlier, you received a card. We'd like to get that card back from you at the end of the service today. We've got baskets up here in the back. We'd sure like to get you on our email mailing list. Be a great thing. Come up here, Ms. Rockwell, for just a moment. Woo! Come on up here. We're going to be doing this resurrection dance this afternoon. I wonder, go ahead and read this. You'd be thinking about what you're going to say while I'm reading this. I put it on the spot. I got this email last night from, I don't know where this pastor's from, somewhere far, far away. He said, Pastor Reynolds, yesterday afternoon, I was putting the final thoughts on paper for my Easter Sunday message. I found an illustration about Budapest, Hungary, Resurrection Dance 2010. I searched Google and found that the Sycamore Church had a resurrection dance in 2010. It's playing one for 2011. I wish I had a plane and could fly down there tomorrow and celebrate the greatest moment in God's love for us, the resurrection of Jesus. We thank God for that gift of love and life. If ever down south, I'll come to be with the fellowship of Jesus. Tom C. Murr is his name. Now invite them this afternoon.
I think you just did. What could we do just that would show our joy of living in Christ and what He's done for us more than just coming out and being together? You know, if we want to dance, we should dance. If we want to pray, we should pray. If we want to come serve the homeless in His name, come do that. You know, whatever, we all have the gifts. And let them manifest, you know, let them come to the park. Donna, you still need a ride? I want to make sure Donna gets a ride down there because I don't think she wants a parallel parker car. Okay, good. Whatever your gift is, come and use it. Just come and celebrate. And as Dane said this morning, think about divine appointments, you know. Just be together and celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And I'm so excited. I want all the world to be so excited. Think about all the praises. This is a global thing. So all the praises and all the different time zones all joining together and going up to the throne room of God as one voice, no matter what time zones we think separate us. I'm just, you all know me. I'm excited.
The news media is still trying to find our angle in this. You know, there's got to be money in it somewhere. Thank you, Terry.
God bless you.
Sam Martin, come on down. This is the new Price is Right. You got to run. Come here. Yeah, man, we'll get a hug. You know, you see this bottle of oil down here? It's just olive oil. We anoint people and we pray for them. We pray God's healing. As Fred said to Bubba, hit it, Bubba.
In February of 2010, I was diagnosed with leukemia. I was told that it would take me about 8 to 9 years to get in remission. It's been almost 15 months. I'm in remission.
Doesn't he look good? Does he look good over there? Anybody over there? Praise God. We praise the Lord with you, Sam. And God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you. And continue to share that testimony.
Will do.
God bless you, man. That's not an exception. That's not an exception. Is it, Kim? God intervenes. He answers the prayers of His people. He says, He speaks with signs and wonders. Amen. A tumor in her brain. And God has intervened again, and we bless His name. We're here to celebrate. He's alive. John, if you'll get it on up there for me. I want to read this story to you, the resurrection story. It's one of the accounts from Dr. Luke. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb. They were bringing spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone was rolled away from the tomb. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Imagine that. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day he'll rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, also the other women with them, were telling these things to the apostles. And these words appeared to them as nonsense. They would not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping down, looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only. By the way, you look from the other account, they were still wrapped like the body had come out. Like the body had come out. The body had come out. And he went away from to his home, marveling at what had happened. Let's pray. Lord, we celebrate you today. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord today. It is a great day. A great day in the earth. We bless you. God, I ask you that you'll bring all of these things together and zero them in on our hearts today. We don't want to leave here the same as we arrived. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So a couple of questions to ask you about the resurrection of Jesus. How important is it? Well, where would the resurrection, where would Christianity be without the resurrection? There is no Christianity. It's the cornerstone. It's that one principle, that one thing on which all of Christianity rests. Why do you think they try to attack it so much? Go on the internet, read all the garbage, the flimsy arguments that these guys give. I was reading one early this morning. This guy, he was debunking using the Bible, any text from the Scripture, and then later on in his own argument, he uses the Bible as a part of his argument. And I think, come on, man. At least be honest. Be honest. If there's no resurrection, then there is no Christianity as we know it. Second question. What are the implications without it? Well, worldwide Christianity would lose the heart of its message. The Bible would become just a book of antiquities. A nice little volume to read if you had time. There'd be no church as we know it. No Chinese Christians at the university area trying to gather on the lawn out there and worship and being turned away. And let me tell you, those Chinese police, they may think they're putting the church out of existence, but when they take the broom, the dry broom of oppression, and try to knock the fire of the gospel, all they do is spread it when they draw it back. As the sparks of the gospel will go to the world, they're not going to be able to put out that fire. There'd be no church. There'd be no changed lives. And we would be dead in our trespasses and sins and separated from the Lord forever if there were no resurrection. What are the explanations that the detractors give of the resurrection of Jesus? Well, they say, oh, the disciples, they were hallucinating. You had a whole group. Now imagine this. You had a whole group of people that had to be under this hallucinogen of some sort, under some spell. You know, the problem with hallucinations is that they're usually very private. Any of you had any hallucinations before? They're usually very private, very subjective, very individual. They don't go on for hours. Vary by time and place. Hallucination will only explain the appearances of Jesus. But an hallucination would not explain an empty tomb. A verifiable fact. The stone was rolled away and no one could produce a corpse. That's all they had to do. Produce a corpse. Produce a dead body. Another explanation is they create a myth. According to this explanation, disciples create this myth instead of having a verifiable story. Primary characteristic of myth is its verbosity. Gospel accounts are concise, detailed, very consistent with one another. A myth need not be consistent or concise. It can be very arbitrary or contrived. Myths are written much later after the fact. Writers of the New Testament and the accounts that we have were testifying immediately of what they saw and what they experienced. A third, these disciples were deceivers. The original conspiracy theory. They'd gotten all of it together. You know, they'd contrived this. These fishermen, these men that was said of them, they had so little education. They had put together this complicated plot to deceive everyone. In fact, these, if you went for this story, they'd be the greatest spin doctors that ever lived. They would be the type of people that could convince you that Elvis is going to be performing down here at the Civic Center this afternoon. Or John Kennedy is still alive and well in Massachusetts. A fourth explanation is that they simply just revived the swooning body of Jesus. According to this, Jesus was not dead. He was drugged. Later on, woke up from the coolness of the tomb. You see, this fantastic claim has to jump over all the account of what happened to this man on the cross and all the people there who had it in their best interest that he be dead. These were professional executioners who were responsible. No, he was dead. So, what is the evidence for the resurrection? Well, there's eyewitness evidence, and I'm just going to breeze through this. You can look at these scriptures later on. In fact, I'll send you this outline of this sermon. You can read all the scriptures and preach it yourself during the week. Yeah, here's the eyewitness evidence. Mary Magdalene saw Jesus at the tomb. Tell the gospel accounts. A group of women saw Jesus early on Sunday. Third, Cleopas and the other disciple there on the Emmaus Road saw Jesus, had that time with him. Fourth, Peter sees him in Jerusalem. Fifth, 10 of his disciples saw him in the upper room. Sixth, 11 disciples see him a week later in the upper room. Seven of his disciples saw him while fishing one morning. 11 of his disciples see him on a mountain in Galilee. 500 see him at one time. James, his own half-brother, sees him. Many see him as he ascends into heaven. And Paul sees him on the Damascus Road. That is not just a mountain of evidence. That is a mountain range of evidence. This is not one book either. This is 66 books that are in absolute harmony with one another. Is it not? Okay. That's the eyewitness evidence. Let's go on to the circumstantial evidence. The tomb is empty. Stone's rolled away. The Sanhedrin paid off the soldiers to lie about it. There is multiplication of the verifiable facts that the tomb is empty. Secondly, the Gospels portray the women as seeing him first. Now let's talk about this for just a moment, ladies. In that time, the women were not first at anything. Do you hear me? Nothing. They were first in nothing. So if you're going to contrive a story, at least get it right and have the men leading the way. Don't push the women out there. Nobody's going to believe that. Except the fact that that's exactly how it happened. You see, you know, it's another sermon for another day, but there's no one in history that lifted the status of women more than Jesus, more than the church. A third item of circumstantial evidence. There's a great variety of people who see the resurrected Christ. Not Paul all a part of one group, one genre, one particular section of society. There's great difference in variety. Gives great authenticity to the story. Fourth area. No dead body was produced. Now listen, just think with me for a moment. If you know that he's still dead, you've posted guards out there, you've got everybody looking out for him, and see, for years this conflict with Jesus has been building to a crescendo such that everyone told him not to go to Jerusalem, don't go there, because there's going to be conflict, and you even get the Roman governor, Pilate, involved in it. Jesus goes through six trials before religious and political rulers. Six different trials he goes before. This is a prominent fellow, known by many. All these people are watching. Listen, if you want to disprove the resurrection, show me the body. And don't you think they would have paraded that body around Jerusalem and through the countryside and said, "See, here is your dead Savior." But of course you can't do that if he's busy walking around alive. You have difficulty. The Sanhedrin never disproved the resurrection. The intelligentsia of the Jewish community couldn't do it. And look what happens to the cowardly disciples. They didn't have to go to the Wizard of Oz to get a heart like the lion, to get courage. Now, do you think a lie could have transformed these men? That could have transformed people for generations? They had seen something and experienced a power that the earth had never seen before. The risen Lord Jesus who changes lives. And finally, the disciples, they lived as if the resurrection did occur. They lived out the balance of their lives. In fact, historically, you can investigate this. John the Revelator, John the Apostle, probably the only one that did not die a martyr's death. Peter, maybe crucified upside down. And you see the trail of blood of the martyrs who have given their lives that continues even today. Reading this thing on the internet and this morning and hearing this guy mock martyrdom, saying that it was a hoax, that people had not been laying down their lives. You know what I thought? You idiot! Can't you see? Just look around you right now. We just left a place in Africa where people last week gave their lives because they believe in Jesus, who were murdered after an election. That's right. And finally, there's the historical evidence. This quote from British scholar Brooke Foss Westcott, and I quote, "Taking all the evidence together, it's not too much to say that there's no historic incident better or more variously supported than the resurrection of Christ." Unquote. Historically, the empty tomb launched a worldwide movement that we call Christianity today. Secondly, the followers of Christ died for their faith regularly. We've made that point. Third, signs and wonders were performed in the name of this man, Jesus. Signs and wonders, healing, God doing His work. The whole missionary movement of Acts is launched. You read the book of Acts and you see the explosion that takes place as the gospel goes out to the world. The simplicity and the authenticity of the Bible verify the reality of the resurrection. This is a consistent book. Imagine the people that have been shooting at this book for a couple of thousand years now. Huh? God's Word has taken on the best, the intelligentsia of every generation. Where are they today? Where are their volumes of knowledge reduced to dust? Well, even the evolutionists that taught me in grade school need to come and give me an apology today for what they taught me as fact that's turned out to be hoax and fiction. The exact words of what they taught me. Hoax and fiction. Taught to me as fact. And yet, this book, it stands. A testimony to the fact that Jesus arose from the dead. Jesus' fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies in dynamic detail give evidence of the powerful consistency of the whole story. And we're living in that age where we're seeing prophecy unfold before our very eyes. That little postage stamp of a country called Israel is a testimony to the fulfillment of prophecy every day. Every day. Everybody and their dog didn't want that to happen. The Jews would have a homeland, a place to go back to. And now, 50 plus years, they've been in existence. It's a miracle. And finally, Jesus' fulfillment of his own promise to rise from the dead is a gigantic historical verification of the story. He's risen. And we celebrate. Now finally, you got to make a choice about the resurrection of Jesus. You can't stay neutral. Have you been noticing that as history, as God's bringing history to a conclusion? Yes, it has a cyclical nature, but let me tell you, those cycles are heading to a conclusion as he's drawing us down to his coming again. So you can't stay on the fence. So, your first option. Jesus is a liar of the first magnitude. You willing to call him a liar? Step up, own it. Step up to the plate, own it. Call him a liar. Option one. You willing to do that? You have the courage of your convictions? Or you want to weasel around? I still remember the weaseling after 9/11. Suddenly, we can put, come and pray at all these places on the bottom of our TVs when they're arguing about that just hours before. Be consistent. Be a man. Step up to the plate. If that's what you believe, then own it. Liar. Well, second, maybe he's just crazy. Raving lunatic. Is he that? He was just crazy. This stuff's crazy. Then how many other people have been crazy through history? Are you crazy? Your second choice. But then there's a third choice. Maybe he is Lord of all. You see, you can't just accept him as a good moral teacher. Keep him locked away in your religion. He's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. How do you see him today? Liar, lunatic, Lord. And if he is Lord, he's Lord of all. He's Lord of every aspect of your life. Your time, your money, your relationships, your ideology, your philosophy. Your politics. He's Lord. Let's bow our heads. It is on this Resurrection Sunday that I, Michael Delmar, nicknamed Dusty Reynolds, stand before you as a blood-bought, twice-born, glory-bound, raving, crazy, maniac, child of God, and say to you,
come to the Lord Jesus. Receive Him as your Lord and your Savior. Let Him move into your life. Not every one of us that's seated here today has received Jesus in his life. I know that. Not in a crowd this big. So I invite you to come. I'm calling on you publicly to come out and take your stand for Jesus. If you'd like to have Him come into your life, I'd like to pray with you and for right here at this place, at this altar today, to do an eternal transaction with God where your life can change. Can I get a witness on that change? Does Jesus change lives? Yes, He does. I'm going to pray a prayer. You can pray this prayer with me, and you too can have Jesus come into your life. Here's how the prayer goes. Dear God, I thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And right now I ask You to forgive me of my sin. And I ask You to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Thank You for saving me. If you pray that prayer with me and you meant business with God, He means business with you, and He will change your life. It is simple. It's not complicated. We open the altar. Our pastors, some of our life group leaders are here to pray with you on the sides at the altar. If you want to come and profess Christ as Savior for the first time, we invite you to come today. The altar is open. I'm just seeing if the Lord sent me a text while we were here. And He doesn't need this, does He? He cuts out the middleman. He can speak directly to us. That's how I'm going to send you out today. Before I do that, we'd like to get those cards from you. There's a basket in the back, baskets up front. If you have an offering to bring, bring it on. I want to thank you for your prayers, for my mother. Mom went home last night. She and Dad are kind of having a quiet day today. And just thank you for your prayer. She's walking in God's blessing on her life. I hope you got my those of you that maybe saw it on Facebook. I can't remember if I sent it out to the body or not, but about the blood. They're trying to get blood from her the other night, and three or four of them had tried, and she said, "Stop." It's hurting too bad. She said, just stop. And her bed's surrounded by nurses. She said, we need to get a hold of somebody that can get this blood. So Miss Reynolds, we got to get the blood from you. She said, no, we need to get a hold of somebody that can get the blood. And they said, "What you want us to pray?" I said, "No, I'll do the praying. Y'all just pray with me." And so she prayed, and she asked God, and they hadn't been able to get the blood. She said, "Okay, now go slow." And the blood came forth. Yeah. That's answers to prayer. We're walking in faith. Terry's going to be leaving tomorrow to go to be with her parents this week, and just pray for she and Lex as they travel. God will grant them travel and mercy. Now let me send you out. Be excited about the resurrection of Jesus. It ain't going to be old Buddha sitting on the throne. Muhammad's dead. But Jesus is alive. I send you out in his name and in his power.